Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. And in just a few moments, we're going to be walking through that passage. And our experience today is kind of under the title of The Example of a Faith That Prays. While you're turning, I want to offer my personal thanks to the privilege of being here, especially my dear, brand new best friend, Jared Stevens, right? Jared is an easy man to love, an easy leader to follow. And I just love his authenticity, his love for Christ, his love for you. My only gripe is his cool hairdo. He got kind of that faux hawk look. I've got the no hawk look, and there's not much I can do about it. How many of you brothers are part of the Fellowship of the Foreheads? Let's see. It's a distinguished group. Glad you're here. I feel better. Not everybody can be cool, but it is what it is. I want to mention, too, we have an app that may be of interest to you. I don't know how Paul made it without an app, but we have one. It's just Strategic Renewal, either Apple or Google. There's a lot of free resources there, things that will continue to help you in your prayer life, one of which I'm personally excited about. I'm still working on it, called The Transforming Prayer, using that book title, podcast, where for 10 minutes we pray through a different psalm. And I'm about Psalm 70, so I got a ways to go. But I actually go walking praying with myself. I know that sounds spiritually schizophrenic, but I put my earbuds in, I pray the word, and those might be some resources to be of helpful to you. I'm going to throw a little curveball here. There was a slide there earlier a moment ago about a conference that is actually going to be hosted here, called the Resilience Conference. It's going to be October 13 through 15 of next year. And we're working on some great options. A guy named Alistair Begg will be speaking, probably Shane and Shane leading worship, a number of workshops. And we want you to be a part of that and make that available to you as a church as well. So we hope you will make a note of that also. Well, let me kind of set the context for what we're going to do before we look at the text this morning. You might say, man, we're actually going to pray in this service, and some of you suddenly realize that your car's on fire, you need to slip out, you were just wanting to kind of hear a sermon and sing a song, but we want to do that. And as Jared mentioned earlier, Jesus said, my house shall be a house of what? Prayer. As I said first hour, if I ask you a question, the answer is either Jesus or prayer. So you got a 50% chance, all right? But my house shall be a house of prayer. Not necessarily good things like preaching and programming and planning platforms, but a house of prayer. So it was Jesus' heart that when his people get together, there is a priority placed on the importance of us praying. When Paul wrote to Timothy about leading the church and how the church ought to be organized, he said in chapter 2, verse 1, first of all, Timothy, I want there to be prayer, right, in the church. And that wasn't his personal prayer life. That's a reference to how the church should function. In Luke, you see another passage there in really connection with the series you've been in. There was a widow who kept appealing to a judge, and eventually Jesus used that lesson to encourage us to keep calling on God. And he said, and when I come back, will I find faith on this earth? Well, guess what? In his mind, faith meant, here's the word, prayer. Yeah, a few of you got it. Yeah. He was really referring to prayer. So it's the kind of faith that Jesus wants us to have, even as we go through this series, how fitting it would be that we would spend time together in prayer. But the question is, how are we going to pray? Simithet, are we going to get together and do the organ recital? You know, we're going to pray for Larry's liver and Sally's stomach and Bill's belly? No. We're actually going to pray from the word, and we're going to do it the way Jesus told us to do it. In fact, Jesus said, when he said, pray this way, in the original Greek, it's what we call a present imperative. That means Jesus was actually saying, I want you to always pray in this way, not just the words, but the pattern. So what you're going to see today, we're going to really dial into that pattern as we pray together in a way that I believe will be encouraging and helpful to all of us. So we're really titling this message, The Example of a Faith That Prays. You say, the example? Aren't there many examples? Well, yes, there are. But do you know there's only one example of how the early Christians prayed together? And it's found in Acts chapter 4. We know that they did pray. It's been said in the book of Acts, they're either going to a prayer meeting, in a prayer meeting, or leaving a prayer meeting. But in Acts 4, we see the only example of how they actually prayed. And so today we want to not only look at that, but we want to pray through it. It's been said the best way to apply God's word is to pray it. And I promise this is not going to be uncomfortable, uneasy. I think it's going to be engaging. And again, we're going to allow the word of God to really direct us here. So in Acts chapter 3, just to set the context, Peter and John had been on their way to a prayer meeting. A lame man was begging for money. Peter healed him by the power of Christ. Suddenly, it creates a witnessing opportunity, and it says that a total now of 5,000 men had come to saving faith in the Lord. But now the Jews are persecuting them. They basically arrested Peter and John, and they said, stop doing this. And so now it's getting kind of tough. So what do? You have a prayer meeting. And that's where we pick up in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. I want you to look at it with me, if you will. It says, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. So maybe you've been in other countries where they all pray out loud at the same time. We won't do that today because we're Baptists, all right? But there's clearly a sense in which they were all engaged. They were vocalizing their prayers, probably under the direction of Peter and John, helping them focus in a united fashion on what they were supposed to be doing. So the question is then, how did they pray? Well, I want you to pick up in verse 24. The first thing out of their mouth wasn't a prayer request. Peter didn't say, you know, this is stressful, pray for me. I whacked that dude's ear off the other day. I'm in the mood to do it again to these Jewish guys. They've really got me upset, right? Thomas didn't say, oh, pray for me, I'm doubting again. No, they didn't begin with their need. Their needs were real. I mean, this was stressful. This felt uncertain. This was really a tense situation, but that's not where they started their prayer. Again, the only example of how they prayed is indicated for us here, and here's where they started. If you're reading along, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, and then they go on to quote a passage of scripture, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, that's a lot to take in this moment. Let me make it very simple. They prayed out of Psalm 146:6, and they prayed out of Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. They literally are praying the Bible. John Piper, who's always stealing my material, I'm gonna write his attorney, but Piper said it this way. He said, when the mind is not brimming with scripture, the heart is seldom brimming with prayer. What you see here is what we have described as scripture-fed, spirit-led, worship-based prayer, not based in request, but based in worship. Now, why did they start their prayer this way? I'm glad you asked. Because two times Jesus commanded them, saying, you start here. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You worship a caring, loving Father who has become yours through the work of Christ. You remember that he's in heaven, he is in charge, and you worship him based upon his name and character, and the best way to do that is from the Word of God. So in this situation, what did they need to know about their Father in heaven? That he is sovereign, that he is sovereign, and he is the creator of heaven and earth. He is in charge, and everything he does has a divine design and spiritual purpose. And again, they started in the Word of God. The best way to pray is always with an open Bible, letting God's Word give language to your prayers. A very famous pastor named Jarrett Stevens has recently defined faith in this way, and I'm gonna borrow it a little bit. You see it on the screen. That faith is choosing to pray. He has said live, and that's so true, but it's true about prayer. Choosing to pray as though God's word is true regardless of my circumstances, regardless of emotions, and regardless of cultural trends. And so this is what they're doing. They're praying as if God's word is true. No matter what we're feeling, what we're facing, we're gonna anchor our prayers in God's word, and we're gonna begin by seeking his face and not just his hand. Again, I say it often. I always mention this will probably be on my tombstone along with 100 other things I want on my tombstone. My kids are all in ministry. They can't afford the tombstone. But now they have QR codes, so I've got them now. We're gonna QR code. But this is one of the things I say often, that if all you ever do is seek God's hand, you may miss his face. But if you seek his face, as Jared said, you will experience his hand. So this is what they're doing, praying the word of God. And again, out of this worship-based reality, they are doing what Jesus told them to do. They're starting in worship. So we're going to actually do prayers of worship in a moment. Now, here's a rule. Don't ask for anything. I stayed up last night with the crew. We've got a trap door under your chair. If you ask for anything in the next minute, you're out of here, all right? We're going to stay on the face. We'll get to the hand, okay? But we're going to stay on the face. We're just going to give God what he's worthy of. And why? Because in this passage, we find out he's sovereign. You know what that means? He's in charge. He is in control. Aren't you glad to know that in this world? I mean, you look at the news and you think, are you kidding? What is going on here? Well, God knows, and they needed to know that, and so do we. And we want to tell him specifically. So let me cue you in. We're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to ask you to, if you're comfortable, turn and pray with somebody. Say, are you kidding? Man, I got to go to the men's room right now, okay? But actually pray with, now, you don't have to pray out loud. And if you're not comfortable with that, you can pray on your own. There's no judgment there, but there's a blessing in praying together. Now, these are going to be simple prayers. We're going to give you a very specific thing because we don't want you praying ad infinitum, ad nauseum. I don't want to have to come down and tap you on the shoulder and say, buddy, does your train of thought have a caboose or not? I mean, we got to get on with this. It's going to be a very short prayer. And we're going to simply say, Lord, I want to praise you because you are sovereign over. You'll see that prompt in just a moment. Lord, I praise you that you're sovereign over. And we're going to do that together. Brief prayers. And I hope you will do that. If you don't like the people you're sitting with, just quietly move across the aisle and pray with someone else. But it's going to be a beautiful thing. We're going to jump right into it. But to prepare our hearts to do that, would you stand with me? And we're just going to declare the wonder of who our Father in heaven is. And then out of that song, we're going to take a moment and we're going to praise him for being the sovereign God, creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Aren't you glad that's our God? Let's worship. So in the spirit of that worship, without any interruption, if you would be willing, maybe you came with a spouse, you want to just turn to one another, maybe a few friends, and would you jump straight into expressing your praise for him personally? And here's our entry point based on what we see in the text. Lord, I praise you that you are sovereign over. Would you do that right now? Verbalize your praise in prayer. Pray with someone. Just declare his sovereignty over your past, your present, your future. What are you dealing with today? You just need to focus on him as a sovereign God in control. Thank you, Lord. Just one after the other. Tell him from your heart to his. In charge, God. Powerful. Holy. Let's take a half minute more. Praise him for his sovereignty. God who is control. Sovereign Lord, maker of heaven and earth, we worship you this morning. Lord, we look at the news, we look at our communities, we look at families that are fractured, we look at our children, grandchildren. Lord, we sometimes wonder what's happening, but thank you today that from your word, based on your promise, we can declare that you are in control. And we thank you that we can worship you in that regard. Our minds can be renewed, your word can shape our prayers. And today, you hear your people sing, you hear your people pray, because you indeed are a God who is worthy to be sought. Let's continue. We thank you that your word renews our minds to praise you in truth, regardless of what we feel and see. And we know today that you are the sovereign Lord and our creator. And we thank you. In the name of your son and for his glory, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So Jesus said to his disciples now, two times, he said in Luke and in Matthew, after you worship, here's what's next. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a movement of response. Worship is the response of all I am to the revelation of all that he is. And according to his prescription, now they do this. And I want you to pick up, if you will, in verse 27. They say, for truly, it's kind of aha. Based on your word, now we understand what's going on. Aren't you grateful that day by day, God's word gives you perspective, helps you really understand what's happening in your life? They say, for truly in this city, Jerusalem, there were actually gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, speaking of what they did to Jesus. If you tend to underline verses, I highly recommend verse 28. Let me read it slowly. To do whatever your hand and your plan has predestined to take place. To do whatever your hand and your plan has predestined to take place. Can you hear it? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we surrender our anxieties and fears and maybe what we think we need to do in this moment to the fact that you have a plan and we want it to be about your kingdom, your will, your glory. And today, I think as we pray, the next natural movement of prayer after worship is now surrender and a response of yieldedness. And so as you are there in your seat, would you just take a heart posture of surrender before the Lord? Maybe just to bow your head. Maybe some of you want to turn and kneel at the chair you're in. Maybe just to quietly lift your hands. And as we think about what's happening in this story, I just want to pray what they prayed. And here's a suggested prompt for all of us. Lord, I surrender to your hand and your plan, especially about what is it in your heart right now you know you just need to give to the Lord? Where are you struggling? Where do you find yourself doing what you want to do rather than what he wants you to do? Maybe an internal spiritual battle that's just so hard right now. Maybe a relationship. Maybe some anxiety, fear, uncertainty. Aren't you glad that the sovereign one, the creator, now assures us you are part of my sovereign plan. And so trust my hand, trust my will, and give it to me. Make that your prayer right now. Lord, I surrender to your hand and your plan, especially. He hears your heart. He knows your ways. He'll take your surrender today, give you peace, rest, assurance. Lord, you hear our prayers right now. Some of us in a very difficult family situation. Struggling marriages, prodigal kids, financial uncertainty, jobs that we hate, perhaps a physical challenge that we don't know how to navigate, but we're grateful today that like these disciples, we can say, Lord, do whatever your hand and your plan has predestined to take place. I give it to you, Lord. It's yours. Thank you, Lord, that in a spirit of surrender, when we can't trace your hand, we can trust your heart. We do that today. And your will is all we desire. And we thank you that you give us grace to stay in that place of yieldedness to your will. For the glory of Christ, we pray. Amen. So these disciples, twice hearing Jesus tell them how to pray, actually were doing it, weren't they? They started in their immediate context of expressing the spirit of our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then in their context, they expressed the spirit of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, reverence and then response. But the second or the third part of the prayer, as you know, gets into practical needs. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You say, well, Daniel, what's that look like here? Well, glad you asked. Look at verse 29. They begin, now they're asking for something. Fine. They haven't asked for anything yet. Isn't that interesting? But now, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and Secondly, grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Let me break that down. The first thing they brought to the Lord was this phrase, look upon their threats. That literally means concern yourself. Say, Daniel, what are they saying? Lord, would you give us the reassurance that you see what we're dealing with now and that you're gonna be with us and show us what to do? How many of you need the Lord to look upon something in your life today? Anything? You got a need, a couple needs, a few of them? Yeah. They needed, that was their daily bread in this moment. See, too many times we come to our prayer time with a long, dusty list of things we think the Holy Spirit needs us to tell him. What we really need to do in the moment from the word, let the Holy Spirit tell us what we need to talk about. And in this moment, what they needed to talk about was the fact that they needed reassurance because this was stressful. This was off the rails. So Lord, our daily bread right now is look upon their threats, Lord. And then what was the relationship that brought them to this prayer time? Kind of a trick question, not really. The relationship that brought them to the prayer time was the relationship with these Jewish leaders who were persecuting them, right? And so, yeah, they could have prayed about, you know, Peter's sister who going into surgery, or John's donkey who broke his leg. But what they needed to pray about right now was re-engaging with these persecutors. And isn't it beautiful that you don't sense unforgiveness or resentment or anger? You sense a love and grace that says, Lord, would you by your power let us re-engage with them so that they see Jesus? They said, Lord, would you in this moment give us boldness to speak your word so as we do so, you'll stretch out your hand, do whatever you have to do to reach these people for Jesus Christ. Man, that is a work of the Spirit, isn't it? Now today as you sit here, I ask a question. What is your resource need today, right now? What is it you need the Lord to look upon? And then secondly, what's your relationship need? What relationship do you need to give to the Lord so that his love and grace will be evidenced in that reality for his glory? So we're gonna pray accordingly. We're gonna begin with our relationship need, and no surprise, we're gonna borrow language right from the text. You see this phrase here, Lord, I trust you to look upon. I trust you, Lord, to look upon. And what is it that you need the Lord to look upon today? So I'm gonna ask, would you stand right now? And I won't have you pray with one another, you certainly can do it. But perhaps in a posture of expressing your need, maybe looking heavenward, maybe with uplifted hands, what do you need the Lord to look upon today? What is your need today? The Lord knows, and he wants you to know that he sees, he's gonna be with you, he's gonna show you what to do. I need that, how about you? Now we're gonna have pastors in the aisles. They're gonna be in the front here across the break in the balcony, and they're gonna come now. And maybe you today wanna come and have one of them pray with you. I need the Lord to look upon my child who is in addiction. I need the Lord to look upon my work situation that's more than I can bear right now. I need the Lord to look upon that diagnosis I received this week. What is it? You may just want to be there personally and give that to the Lord. You may want to come and allow some of these leaders to pray with you. But as you come, as you pray, let's make this our prayer right now. Lord, would you look upon? I've got a whole list of things I want to tell him. I'm sure you do too. We're going to sing a chorus while we do that. And I'm going to ask you simply to bring that resource need before the Lord as we trust him together and as we sing. Pray right now as we sing. Trust in you, Jesus. And oh, for grace to trust you more today. Thank you, Lord, that you see our hearts, and we're asking now, not just based upon some predetermined list, but based upon the worship that we've done, the surrender we've exhibited, the work of your Spirit reminding us of the areas in which we so need you today. And thank you for that opportunity. As we just look at the second thought here, they said, Lord, would you give us boldness to reach out to these people in a fresh way? You can go and have a seat if you would. We don't want you to go to sleep here praying, so we'll move around a little bit. But that second part of the prayer was, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, let's do a reality check as I'm praying. God, is there a relationship that isn't what you want it to be? Or is there a relationship in which I just need an alignment of my heart with your love, your grace, your will, your gospel? And that's really what they were praying about. It would have been easy to run and hide or try to counterattack, but they said, Lord, we want to be filled with boldness to speak the word of grace to these leaders. And so just praying personally once again, I want to just give you a suggested prompt. We're trying to draw it right from the text, make it real for our own hearts. Lord, I pray that I'm in my relationship with, and what name or names would you put there? We're getting specific now, but just between you and the Lord, I think you know, that I will exhibit the love and truth of Christ so that, so you might say, Lord, in my relationship with my wife, help me exhibit the love and truth of grace so that I'll be the spiritual leader in my home I need to be. Lord, in my relationship with that guy at work, it just gets under my skin. Well, he'll show you how to pray about that one, won't he? Maybe have a sense of tension with your children. I don't know what it might be, but it's been said to live above with the saints we love, that will be grace and glory, but to live below with the saints we know, well, that's another story, right? And we need to give these to the Lord. So as the music plays quietly, just make that your prayer right now in alignment with what Jesus told us to pray about, those relationships. So why don't you bow, say, Lord, search my heart. Let me think about the people around me. And in my relationship with, let the Lord prompt you. Help me to exhibit the grace and truth of Christ so that. Lord, would you now work in us to fulfill your purpose in our relationships? You've called us to walk in grace, love, forgiveness. With the lost, you've called us to live boldly, to exhibit your love, your truth to the world around us. And so, Lord, we give you these relationships right now. You're a good, good God. And we want your goodness to be seen in how we live, how we love, how we pray, how we witness, how we forgive. And we know you can do that through us because that's just who you are. And we thank you for that. Lord, you have told us that we are the light of the world and that we are living in such a way that people will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And Lord, may those works be seen in our relationships, even as these early believers trusted you to display your goodness in and through them for the sake of the gospel. Remain standing in our final moment of prayer, because what happens now as we look at the text is that they are now ready to go out, having overcome anxiety, fear, doubt, all the things that they were facing. You know, the reason they prayed that way is because now Jesus says, pray like this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so they are really, just seeing if you're with me. Yeah, that is my prayer every day. But here it is, deliver us from what? Evil. How many know it's a battle out there? Anybody? Yeah. How many of you know that the enemy's reloading right now because he's really ticked off that we got serious about prayer? But how many of you know that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world? Amen? Amen. So how does this prayer meeting end? Well, I love this. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. Now, I lived in California for almost 20 years. I've been in a couple of those prayer meetings, actually. But the Lord providentially shook. Why? Well, the same reason there were cloven tongues of fire, mighty rushing wind. He's demonstrating his power to give them reassurance in a supernatural way. But notice what happens next. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Spirit in them took charge. The one who was greater in them than he who was in the world took charge of their hearts. They surrendered themselves afresh and anew. And the Holy Spirit did through this ragtag bunch of disciples who came into this meeting probably full of fear and doubt, but they worshiped. They surrendered. They trusted God for their needs. And now filled with the Holy Spirit, they go out and they speak the word of God with boldness. Here's some good news, friends. Romans 8 tells us that the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead lives in us to give life to our mortal body. The reason the early church prayed like they did is they actually believed the Holy Spirit was the how-to. We tend to think the Holy Spirit helps us with our how-to, right? I got a cell phone. I got I don't know how many apps. I can't even count them anymore. I don't even know what half of them do, right? But I tend to treat the Holy Spirit like an app on my phone. In reality, he's the operating system. And all they needed was to once again come under the control of the indwelling Spirit of God. And you know, friends, as we leave here, that's our need right now. Holy Spirit, would you fill me? Would you take control of my life in a fresh and a new way so that, again, what is it only God can do in and through you as you leave here today? We're gonna pray about that. I'm gonna ask you one more time, even if you chickened out the first time, you might wanna try it this time, all right? I'm gonna ask you to pray with someone around you if you're comfortable. Just turn to them right now. Maybe meet a couple people around you. Some final prayer circles, a very simple prayer right from the text. Read this with me. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit so that. What is it the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you today, this week? You know he can, he desires. We just need to surrender and trust him. So I'm gonna ask you, pray together right now. If you want, if willing to, find some folks around you and just make this simple prayer your prayer. You may pray it multiple times as the Lord brings things to your mind. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit so that let's trust the work of the Spirit of Christ in us and through us right now. Pray if you will. So Lord, today as we leave here, we know that we are able to overcome temptation and evil by the power of your indwelling presence. Thank you for Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you that he who began a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you that it is God by his Spirit who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So Lord, we leave this place having worshiped you, surrendered to you, trusting you for our resource needs, Lord, committing to you our relationships, and once again coming under the control of the power of the living Christ. So that we go forth from here as an army, living in victory, hopeful, bold, courageous, filled with the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, self-control, all for the glory of Jesus, who alone is worthy of our praise and who alone is the victor living in us and through us for the sake of his kingdom. So Holy Spirit, fill us for your glory, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.